This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. There's a couple highlights there for Choice. He was the magic potion for the weekend.
Maybe.
Maybe he was the magic potion. Or maybe it was Jeff McGuire's sunshine on Friday morning.
There was a lot of that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Thought it was interesting yesterday, and Coach Tim Tadlock made comments to Jeff Haxton on Double T 97.3 before the game as part of his pregame visit with regard to how they worked the starting pitchers yesterday. Because normally in game two on a Saturday, Mac Huer was going to start, and then Kyle Robinson was going to go usually on the Saturday, game two, mm-hmm. and Mac Huer on Sunday, game three. Well, with the postponement, it made for a doubleheader, and Jeff asked Coach Tadlock about the decision to put Robinson first yesterday, Huer first yesterday, and then Kyle Robinson, and basically talked about, you know, how Huer being a freshman and not used to having to sit around during a doubleheader, and felt like it'd just be, you know, better off for him to go ahead and go out and pitch
him on his normal routine. That's what you would want to do.
Yeah,
it's very similar to the situation that they did with him not starting that first game in Orlando when you had the travel day of game and all that kind of stuff, and that's why they decided to put Ryan Free in the spot there.
And then I thought it was interesting on the TV broadcast. They asked him about that as well, and he said, "Well," he goes, "Kyle came to us and asked if he was pitching game two, and that got us to thinking." And then I think, you know, the more they thought about it, the more that it made sense. And what did you think of Mac's performance yesterday, Jamie? 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. He did walk 5, struck out 3 in the 22 batters that he faced.
Yeah, it's really odd the way he's really struggled with his command here in recent weeks, because that was something we just he was nails with that early on in the season. So it feels like he's fighting that a little bit, but he kind of pitched himself in and out of trouble a few times, but found a way. And so that's what you come up with big pitches when you need to, kind of the clutch pitching part of it. And that's what you want to see. So ultimately you want to see him hang zeros and 5 innings of 2-run ball. I think he'll take that.
Yeah. And then in terms of your relievers yesterday, they used Brendan Lysak and Parker Hutera in game one. And of course, Josh Sanders. We'll get to him. But then Zach Erdman in game two and Jacob Rogers. In terms of the guys that didn't close it out, Lysak, Hutera, and Erdman, what did you think of their stuff yesterday?
Well, obviously, Hutera was not at his best. He'd only mm-hmm. given up 2 runs all season long, and he gave up 2. So that's really his first bad pitching performance of the year, to be honest with you. So I don't think much of that. It's just, it happens. It's baseball. You're not going to be perfect every time out. I thought Brendan Lysak was really good. You needed somebody to kind of bridge your way through to get to Hutera and Sanders. And, you know, Lysak's kind of been a bit of hit or miss. He was really good at Arkansas too, though. So if he can just, boy, his stuff is good if he can just avoid the free passes. And he hung a, you know, what, inning and 2/3 for you. So I thought that mm-hmm. those were 5 big outs.
And then the two guys that closed it out, Josh Sanders, he did give up 2 hits, walked 1, struck out 1, but he got you out of the game. He got a big insurance run for him there in the eighth inning, and then able to get out of the ninth. And then obviously what Jacob Rogers did, he gives up a leadoff triple there in the ninth inning, but West Virginia fails to get him home as he's able to pitch out of a big, big jam there.
Yeah, good work by Jacob. His stuff is legit. It's just consistency is a big factor with him, and I love the way he bared down after giving up that leadoff triple.
Man, you know, you kind of look at kind of the way this thing's went from a, just a pitching standpoint, and you talked about it from the very start. You know, the starters with Ryan Free going six, and then Mac Heuer going five, and then Kyle Robinson going seven.
Man. It's extremely important right now because you don't have all those arms in the bullpen that we've talked about, and you need some length from your starters. And that had been a bit of an issue. And so that's why it's really hard to win midweek games when you don't have the number of arms. And especially in a, like, for example, when you go to Arkansas and you really don't have Josh Sanders available to you. Mm-hmm. So you need starters to give you length. And it's more difficult to get that length from midweek starters for everybody, not just for Texas Tech. And it makes it, you know, extremely difficult when you don't have those forearms that you're missing right now.
We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tonight with Tim Tadlock. That'll be at 6 o'clock. I would imagine he'll be in a great mood, but he'll be steady Eddie Coach Tadlock, won't he? I mean, he's not going to be jumping on the table swinging barbecue sauce around his head, is he?
I think you know the answer to that.
I just thought I'd have a little bit different twist on it.
I mean, I think Joey McGuire is a pretty excitable guy. I don't expect him to be standing on a table slinging barbecue sauce at any point.
I don't know if they were a certain point undefeated. If you said to him, "Hey, keep doing what you're doing, but you got to swing barbecue sauce over your head," he'd be like, "Where's the bottle?" We'll also have the high school fan zone on the air for you tonight. That'll be at 6 o'clock. Coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey coming into the First United Bank studio and visiting with our man Garrett Luff. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock until 7:30 on 100.7 The Score. I'm sure Coach Tadlock will kind of bring everybody down to earth a little bit and say, you know, hey, it's three games, right? We've got a lot more to play.
Yes, and I'm sure Coach Tadlock is going to say the same thing I said earlier, and that's okay. I mean, we didn't see anything this weekend that was, I mean, different. You play really well at home.
Mm-hmm.
You play really well at home. I mean, you've won, you know, now two consecutive sweeps at home. Go do that on the road.
Yeah.
Go be a similar team on the road. That's, you know, where you need to get to. If you're gonna really consider yourself a contender, go win away from home.
Yeah.
Go play better away from home.
Up first will be Texas Tech in New Mexico tomorrow. That'll be at Dan Law Field or Rip Griffin Park. We'll have it for you on both 100.7 The Score and Double T 97.3. Broadcast time 1:30, and then first pitch at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Any guess on who takes the hill for this one, Jamie?
Hudson Parker.
Okay. And is it kind of one of those deals where it's kind of a Johnny Allstaff kind of deal? It's like, Hudson, go pitch as many innings as you can, and then we'll figure it out after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's usually how it is. The starter. I mean,
he doesn't really use the kind of the, you know, kind of just guy to come on and pitch an inning, just the, you know, the, what, the word escapes me, but the opener. He doesn't, Coach Tadlock doesn't really use the opener too much, does he?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, he really is sending a guy out there, and he acknowledges probably that, we don't know what we'll get out of this guy, but we'll see. But I mean, for the most part, he's hoping he gives him three or four innings.
Yeah. Aside from ballpark, is there any kind of thing that you kind of look at from when you're playing on the road versus playing at home as to why one team is so much better at home than on the road? Or is it the ballpark? Or is it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, the thing about it this weekend, I mean, the ballpark played big this weekend.
Yeah.
The wind was blowing in. I mean, you didn't have a ton of home runs. Obviously, you had the grand slam and, Cade McGee had a couple of them this weekend, and you got a big one from Kevin Bazell late yesterday. But, I mean, this game was not dominated by home runs, or this series was not. It was dominated by your starting pitching. So I really don't have a good answer for you there. The crowd playing in front of your home crowd and getting to sleep in your own bed and all that's probably good. It makes you more comfortable and relaxed, and you get to be in your routine and your locker room and all that. So that factors in, probably all of those things. But I mean, you got to be a little bit mentally tough, right, to go sure. win on the road. And that's something that we need to see from this team. I think they're talented enough. They're capable. They just maybe go get a couple of them, and then it'll start building up.
Okay. Stacking success.
There you go.
Stacking success.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Bazell blasts this one to deep left field. He absolutely destroyed it. Adios, muchacho. Take your insurance where you can get it. 3-1 Red Raiders.
I gave him a little breathing room in the second game of that doubleheader yesterday.
Felt like a really important run.
Yeah. And it sure did. And especially when they let off the ninth
with a triple.
You're like, because you know, at that point in time, Jamie, right? You're gonna give up a run for a hit, and so it makes it a 3-2 game, and they're gonna have their best player. He is their best player, right? I mean, he's going to be a first-round draft choice, so you would think, you know, J.J. Weatherholt, I mean, he was going to bat in the inning after the mm-hmm. triple, and he did get up, and he made the last out of the game.
Yep.
He went 1-for-4 yesterday with 2 RBI, so it's hard to keep that guy down because, you know, in the first game yesterday, in the 3-1 game, he went 1-for-3 with an RBI, and he walked twice. He's a dangerous guy, and he's
good player.
He's not entirely healthy, mm-hmm. So he had just one at bat in Friday's game. He went 0-for-1, and then he walked one. So technically, he had two at bats on the day, but still. At any rate, so makes it really good. You got a little
actually two plate appearances.
Two plate appearances. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
A walk doesn't count as an at bat.
Right. Yeah, I knew that, but you're right. Two plate appearances. That's the proper way to say it. Yeah, that's
because you don't want it to count against his average that he didn't get a hit.
Right.
Yeah.
the Red Raiders got a little help from the ball boy in the first game yesterday. In the fourth inning. It saved a run. You end up winning 6-4, but boy, if you're West Virginia, you're like, hey man, come on, what are you doing down there? What's going on?
I don't know what to say here. I guess in case you haven't noticed, the Saddle Tramps don't always appear to be diehard baseball aficionados.
Savvy.
Yeah, and maybe don't understand the game completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And don't understand, you know, when an umpire points fair that they can't touch it. I don't know.
You got to be paying attention for that, something like that. Be like putting me down there, right?
I appreciate that they do it and they have fun doing it. And some of them bring some entertainment and some into the game and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, not all the time, but it happens in Major League Baseball even, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to act like this guy should be, you know, burnt at the stake or anything just because he did this. I mean, it was an honest mistake.
Maybe celebrated, actually, because it helped you out.
Yeah, but you don't want to be known.
I know. You don't want to be known like that. Yeah.
I mean, it was not done intentional or whatever. And mm-hmm. if I was West Virginia, I'd be frustrated.
Yeah.
I would be. So I hope it doesn't happen a bunch, mm-hmm. you know. And again, I wouldn't assume that Randy Mazey assumes that, you know, Tim Tadlock has practiced with those guys and tells them when to try to cheap shot the opponent or anything. But I would be frustrated if I was them.
Yeah. How would that? I feel like depending on the cadre of broadcasters that would be on that, like if it was on the other end, okay, it was, let's say that you're at West Virginia and that happened there. How outraged would you guys be at that, or would you acknowledge that that's just kind of baseball, or would you be like jumping out of the booth?
As I just said, I would be annoyed. I'd be bothered by it.
Yeah. So annoyed. Mm. Annoyed would be.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think I would sit there and think, West Virginia has to...
Has a plant down there.
Yeah, that yeah, they no, did I it on it. Purpose.
Like, yeah, right, right.
It's probably just, a bit embarrassing.
Right.
For Coach Tadlock or whatever.
And for the guy down
and
there,
And you're
too.
Really, really hoping that it doesn't decide or factor into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up being a two-run game, but even then, it still feels different, and there's more pressure on a pitcher with a two-run lead mm-hmm. compared to a one-run lead and all that. So it still feels like it did factor into the game.
And you get a little momentum and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. At first glance yesterday, the Austin Green play, it's in the eighth inning, and it's down the right field line, and he's kind of playing to the right, and he's got to go back to his left. And then, man, he just does this kind of full circle and picks up the ball clean, and his momentum carries him to throw the ball perfectly to T.J. Pompey, who then perfectly throws it to Kevin Bazell, who tags the guy out at the plate by a fingernail, it looked like. Mm-hmm. There were times when they were showing the replay when I was thinking, oh, man, he might be called safe. And then they showed one last little deal. His left hand was just not quite long enough with the middle finger to be able to get to the plate. But, man, you really couldn't have played that ball any more perfect than the way that the Red Raiders played that ball defensively.
Yeah, get to it, hit your cutoff man, and then make a good throw from the cutoff man.
And then
they practice that a lot.
Well, I know, mm-hmm. but man, just the way sometimes.
And many times you see then the throw be a little wide mm-hmm. or be over the top of the cutoff man or the guy
catch drop it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, all those things. But man, sure put you in a great spot there to. Get the inning finished out after that, and then close out the ball game there in the ninth, and you win the three. All right, spring game. It was entertaining, Jamie.
Good.
It was entertaining. You got to see some field goal kicking, and some missing, and a muff snap, but you had to. A 52-yard field goal to tie it, and then a 43-yard field goal to win it, and may have a little kicking competition.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Baseman, Cash pops up, he's going to score. Bazell is going to round third base, he's going to score. What a throwing error there by the catcher. Red Raiders lead 2-0 on a whoops from West Virginia.
Signature Stag, your one-stop man shop for legendary game day gear.
Red Raiders won all three over the weekend. They won Friday and then two yesterday, so that counts over the weekend. We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you with Tim Tadlock tonight at 6. He'll go through all that. Preview tomorrow, Texas Tech and New Mexico. We'll have that at 1:30. Day Baseball over at Rip Griffin Park tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So we'll have that for you on both 100.7 The Score and Double T 97.3. And then this weekend, Red Raiders play at KU Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. Meanwhile, over at the Sports Performance Center on Saturday, they held the spring game. Unable to do it down in Midland. It's a good thing they did cancel because it rained and thunderstormed and it's just icky weather on Saturday. I guess some would say, well, it's football weather. Well, but you know, not for a spring game. Not when you're trying to keep people healthy.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, dodge lightning and all that kind of stuff. The team coached by Taj Brooks was a winner thanks to a couple of field goals, including one by Reese Burkhart from 52 yards out, Jamie, to tie the ball game at 24. And then he would hit a 43-yard field goal in the overtime to make it 27-24 and give them the victory. A couple things that stood out to me. The passing of Will Hammonds, he had a 45-yard pass across the field to Coy Aiken for a touchdown to give, at that point in time, Team Barron a 14-7 lead. The quarterbacks played on both sides of the ball, you know, for both teams, because Hammond also had a touchdown, the first one of the game to J.C. Miller. He's a transfer, 23-yard pass down the sideline to him. Caleb Douglas had a touchdown, a reception from Cameron Brown for Team Taj. At that point in time, made it 14-0. And then kind of a nifty little play at the goal line, so to speak, or inside the, I think it's inside the five. Jake Strong just kind of threw a little dipsy-doo dunkaroo over the line, which is good for him, and found Josh Llewellyn in the end zone for a touchdown. Anquan Willis, who's in the portal, played, and Coach McGuire said that he had given Willis asked for the opportunity to finish the spring with the team, and he feels like that, you know, finishing is good for these guys that are going in the portal. There's no chance for him to come back. He was basically given a couple of opportunities to showcase himself, to get some things on tape. He's going to go play somewhere else for somebody else. And then, well, the other thing is, he didn't say this specifically about Willis, but he talked about other guys who have gone into the portal but then have finished their degree as, you know, Texas Tech graduates, and he feels like that's really important if they have that opportunity before they move on.
Yeah,
and
he said, absolutely.
You know, so he said, you know, being here to get your education is kind of the most important thing. But at any rate, here's...
Oh, wow. Coach McGuire said that?
What?
Well, you should put that on Twitter. We should make a big deal out of it, right? We should get a video of that and put it on Twitter.
Getting an education?
Talking about how the education is important.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we should put that on Twitter like Dion and his people do, right?
Right.
Should make a huge deal out of it, right?
Yeah. Make sure you let them know of how many guys have an NFL grade.
Yeah. That was a joke. That was sarcasm, Chuck.
Okay. This question here from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Chuck, I'm starting to worry about Morton. Think things are worse than we are being told. All right. Coach McGuire was asked for an update on Baron Morton, and here it is from the head coach.
I feel really good, man. He would tell you that he could go play today, you know, and we have got a great plan with, you know, our doctors and different, you know, people that are throwing experts, you know, as far as how our rehab and everything like that's going. But, man, he's been, I probably would say after the second or third day of rest, man, he would tell you he's pain-free, and he literally asked a doctor, hey, so I'm good in the spring game. And so, you know, we feel really good where we're at. You know, it's the world that we live in, if we didn't, you'd probably be looking, you know, into the portal and everything like that. And we feel really good about the quarterback room.
I thought the last thing that he said there was interesting, that, you know, if they didn't feel good about him, that they'd go to the portal. Because you've got three other guys there with Cameron Brown, Jake Strong, and Will Hammonds. But, you know, and then he went on to say, because he was asked about the depth chart for the quarterback room, and he was asked about that before the Morton question. But here's Coach McGuire on the depth chart for the quarterbacks.
I'm kind of anxious to see, like, no doubt, you know, Barron's number one. I think the guy that goes in after that is going to be Cam Brown. You know, again, you want to work your tail off unless you have to where you don't want to play a freshman, and or you only want to play a freshman in those four games. And so I think it's, you know, as you go through, Barron and Cam are the two guys that we play tomorrow. And the reason I say Cam is because we've really worked on some different things that, I mean, I hate to bring this up because it's a nightmare for me, but I think you would see a lot of what K-State, the packages they did in that game against us, whenever that was really his first extended play, their freshman quarterback. I think you would see a lot of that style of football whenever Cam, you know, is in the game, or if he has to come into the game, you're going to kind of see a lot of that. And so those two guys are the guys that I'd be going 1 and 2.
What's your reaction to those two comments?
I guess a little bit surprised that Jake Strong is not the number two.
Mm-hmm.
But not surprised at all that he's, you know, kind of hoping to not have to use Will Hammond beyond the four games. So, a little bit surprised, and I'm actually kind of happy about that. He's got a little bit more experience, does Cam Brown. So,
right.
So that's good that they see him as a guy that could come in and do good things.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
And not just a guy that is here to, you know, run some wildcat and some trick plays.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was, when that question was asked, I was like, oh, we're going to, here comes the, well, I haven't had a chance to sit down with everybody yet. We're going to evaluate the tape, blah, 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 blah. But sounds like they've done that. Sounds like, there wasn't any hesitation at all. I mean, it wasn't even like, you know.
Well, they had the extra time because they didn't have to travel it in Midland.
I guess so. I guess so. But yeah, no, I just thought it was kind of interesting. The other thing that was interesting to me was a little bit of discussion on Cameron Dickey, the running back. I don't think there's any thought there that they're going to redshirt him, Jamie. I mean, you've got Taj Brooks and Valdez that, you know, are going to be back there. But Dickey's coming in as a freshman. He's 5'10". He's 220 pounds. And they're going to use him. And they also talked about him him being able to throw the ball. So he's kind of got a little maybe look-see of, hey, this guy has the abilities that – you know, quarterback that you know could potentially come in and throw the ball. So I don't know, maybe looking for that at some point in time, maybe a trick play if you need one, or kind of catch somebody off guard. But I thought that was kind of an interesting comment by my coach McGuire as well, that he's going to get some playing time. And
well, we know the staff doesn't shy away from trick plays, so.
Right? No, it doesn't. It doesn't, but that's kind of your update on that as far as the quarterback room and Cameron Brown and being the number two, and then like I said, he lined out some things that he'd like to see Jake Strong work on in between now and the start of the season.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Two outs, the 0-1 pitch. Fly ball into shallow right field. Green coming on. Makes the catch. And that's the ball game. The Red Raiders win the series 6-4. The victory bells are going to ring again.
Coming up at 8, we will continue our baseball discussion. We've got a couple more things from the spring game from Red Raider football. 7:45, boom, boom, boom. Next, Jamie's question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
7:32 this morning.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to go Red Raider baseball. We're going to do one of those make-believe questions today.
Okay.
All right. If you could add any former Red Raider baseball player, position player, to this team, who would you add? And I'm taking Josh Young off the board. Who would you add? Any Red Raider position player to this team? Not a pitcher, not Josh Young.
You know what? The first guy that comes to my mind is Cam Warren. You've got kind of his leadership ability, his glove, his ability to get maybe some key hits. So I'll say Cam. Fun loving.
Cam would be a good add to any team. I would wonder what you would do with one of your best players in Gavin Cash.
Okay, well, put him at DH. I don't know. You asked me. I mean, that was kind of a random question, but.
Well, I mean, that's fair. That's fine.
Can't do Josh. Didn't say anything about Jace.
Oh, that's fair.
But in the spirit of no Youngs added to the roster, Grant Little?
Good answer.
Guy at the top of the lineup, although Cash has been really good there, that I don't want to necessarily completely jinx what shift that has worked in getting him going. But, you know, as we've talked about so many times, he can just terrorize a pitching staff and just make them pay for, and it might just be a walk, but he's going to throw 80 pitches in the first inning because Grant won't let it. He's like, no, I'm going to keep fouling this off until you die. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how his mindset was. So, Grant Lowell might be where I go with this. It would be the guy I would add to the lineup.
All right. You already have a crowded outfield. I think Grant Little gets overshadowed a little bit. People don't really remember how good he was for a couple of seasons for the Red Raiders. Really, really good player, no doubt. He's somewhat of a, I mean, he's definitely a local product from Midland. I'm going to go with a local product too. Give me Michael Davis. I feel like a consistent shortstop who makes all the plays and then makes some spectacular ones as well, and then provide some pop in your lineup. I would love to have Michael Davis both as a fielder and a hitter added to this team and see how good you'd be. As I've talked about, I feel like, we've heard Coach Tadlock say before, really any coach say, hey, you got to be good up the middle if you're going to be good. And Michael was really good, with a rocket of an arm. He was good first as a second baseman and then ultimately as a shortstop.
Several suggestions here. Let me run these names by you. We get a Jace Young. We get Brian Klein, Taylor Floyd, Eric Gutierrez. We get Jace Young again. We get Dr. Mike Gustafson. I don't know why you'd want that guy in the lineup.
Yes. I love it.
Okay. We get a Gabe Holt or Orlando Garcia a couple of different times.
Yeah. Orlando Garcia is another shortstop. Gabe Holt, great leadoff hitter. Yeah, no doubt.
What about Jace?
It's funny that a lot of people, you pick Jace and Brian Klein, and the one thought that I have there is, I think TJ Pompey's going to be a great player for you. I don't want to take him out of the lineup. He's really good. Really good. But Jace was more than really good. And Brian Klein's leadership ability and clutch hitting and just solid. Just really solid, yeah. Didn't give you the pop that per se that Pompey gives you, but BK was terrific. Yeah.
Who do you think Coach Tadlock would say in that regard? If he could add anybody from any of his teams to this team?
He couldn't pick Josh. I think he'd take Josh first. He might take Eric Gutierrez. But then you run into the whole, what are you doing with Gavin? I just think that he valued what Goot was as a hitter and how good he was defensively, how many errors he saved on low throws, and then how hard he worked, which helped him to be a leader. I'm sure he would take a lot of that on this team.
Yeah. All right, here's a couple other names for you. How about Cal Conley?
Oh, man, he was good. That's another good shortstop, yep.
How about Kurt Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one.
Kurt Wilson, clutch is what was put on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
No doubt. No doubt. And if you had Kurt Wilson, you could use him as a pitcher, too.
Could, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an old name for you. Jamodrick Magruder. Yeah, and then Barrett Barnes.
Yeah, they're not that old.
Well, Magruder kind of he's kind of old, isn't he?
They were at the same time. They played together.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well.
Just before the Tadlock era. But those were two great players.
Yeah, but it's before the Tadlock era, right?
Yeah, just before. Yeah,
we didn't play baseball
I wouldn't call them old.
Well, but I mean, he's been here in what, 10 years now?
12.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, it's a different era. It's a different time.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on your definition of old,
Yeah, you call them old guys. I mean, they're like in their mid-30s.
No, but it's from a long time ago. I mean, it's not of the College World Series years.
I mean, you didn't call Mike Gustafson old.
Well, we know. That's it's given, right? It's given.
Or maybe ancient's the word.
Tyler Nesloney.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Smith.
Yeah, I didn't go with an outfielder. I went for, to me, a position of need more so.
Okay.
And so I was looking for the best player at the shortstop position. That's
Tim
what
Proudfoot. I guess if you went old, you'd go Gary Ashby, right? You go Johnny Owens. Those are
Johnny Owens.
Over at the hot corner. I mean, he could get a ground ball now. Could Johnny get down on a ground ball now?
Absolutely, he could.
Could he?
At least he would tell us he could.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt he'd tell you he could. And there's no question about that. I'm going to tell you how to do it as well.
Not that you need a third baseman, but what could you do with Reed Redmond on the infield today?
Bench your hottest hitter right now.
No. You don't.
I mean, what are you going to do?
You'd move one of them.
Where are you going to move Cade McGee to?
I don't know that Reed has to play third.
Yeah. Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
7-8-9 due up for the Mountaineers. And Brody Kresser, pitch. Right back at him, and he caught it. Holy cow, Huer. Ping pop.
Wow. Unbelievable reaction time by Mac Huer there. That's the one where you don't even have time to hold your breath for him.
Getting your sports day started the right way. The Morning Drive on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com.
You got help getting your sports day started the right way going back to Friday because they get a 15-2 win. Then Red Raiders have Saturday off because of the inclement weather and play two yesterday and get a doubleheader sweep and a three-game sweep of West Virginia that came into the weekend. Top the Big 12 with Oklahoma. And Oklahoma had a little bit of a lead on Friday because they had played on Thursday against BYU, and they end up sweeping BYU. And so they're out to mount now kind of a commanding lead in the Big 12. Good morning with Jamie Linton, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you this morning from the First United Bank studio as we've kicked around this series a little bit throughout the morning, which has been great. It's been great to be able to talk about three wins, and but you can't live on them forever, Jamie. They'll be back in action tomorrow against New Mexico, and you don't want to give anything back in the RPI that you just earned this weekend. And then you want to see if you can now take this team that had some pretty good success this past weekend and really all phases of the game. I mean, hitting and defense and doing the right thing and getting starting pitching and getting closing relief, all those things. I mean, getting out of the game, everything went very swimmingly for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, it did. It was complete. It felt like you played well in all areas of the game. That's fun to see.
Yeah, and you want to see more of that. And this is a good time of the year to be playing well. Obviously, hope that you can continue that, and you're gonna have to figure out how to play well on the road.
Yes, and that is the key.
And that's something that this team has had a little bit of a challenge with this year for whatever reason. And maybe now you can kind of look at this, or the team can, or Coach Tadlock and his coaches can, and go, okay, fellas, no matter how we stack this up here. We're at a point in time where we've got to play well on the road, or we're not going to be able to do some of the things that we wanted to do. And man, you're still playing for the opportunity to host a regional, right? At this point in time,
I mean, until they tell you no, yes, that's what you're going for, right?
Right, absolutely. But I mean,
you're playing for trying to get the number one overall seed.
Sure,
just go win every other game the rest of the season and fight for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Until they tell you you're not a host, then you keep fighting for it, right?
Yeah. So what does that look like to be able to host?
Man, I would guess you'd have to win all the other three remaining series.
In the Big 12, the ones with Kansas this weekend, then Oklahoma at home, and then you have to go to Stillwater still. So, I mean,
and that's a tall task.
Probably even have to make some noise in the Big 12 tournament.
Maybe.
To host a regional?
Yeah, it just depends where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even talking about does your attendance success play in this at all anymore, or has the college game evolved to the point where they don't really look at maybe location, or they may look at location a little bit and attendance a little bit, but really it's about how the team's playing.
Yeah, I think it's more what's on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's – which is the way it should be, but
– Yes, I mean, correct.
You know, you'd like to have a, you know, a little bit of an edge, you know, because you know that you're going to sell it out and have a big crowd and all those things. I mean, let's not overlook – you can't overlook the teams that you're playing in the midweek. I mean, you've got New Mexico tomorrow, and after the Kansas series, you've got UTRGV, and then after the Oklahoma series and Oklahoma State series, you've got to finish up with future Big 12 foe Arizona State, playing them for a couple of games.
Yeah, and UNLV for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those aren't midweeks. Those are weekend series.
Yeah.
Even though it's Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it's the end of the others, though, were midweek. That's really what I was referring to.
Those two are midweek.
Yeah,
but
the UTRGV and the other one.
The UNLV Arizona State thing in Tempe is that's a series because that's your quote unquote bye week from Big 12 play.
Do you think they like that there? I mean, was that a good time for the bye week, or do you think they would have preferred that to been earlier in the season?
They probably like it there. I mean, you have to do it sometime or another.
Right.
I guess, I mean, maybe do it right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if maybe going into the course, it allows you to, depending on what you're playing for at that point in time, it allows you to kind of get everything set up and maybe get some guys some rest or whatever.
Well, it's a single game and a doubleheader.
Yeah, single game on Thursday and then a doubleheader on Friday there in Tempe. And then you get your first look-see at Arizona State's field, which has got some nice mountain settings there. Have you been there before?
Been there before, yeah.
Okay, is it pretty?
We played there a few years ago. It was all right.
Okay.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great? Okay, I just thought maybe with the...
I'm telling you, Pac-12 schools don't have the facilities that SEC, Big 12, ACC have.
Yeah.
No, I don't care what their baseball program used to be and how amazing it was when Reggie and Barry were there. It's a different deal.
Yeah. Those guys, I guess, haven't invested that much of their Major League Baseball earnings or post-career earnings into helping the baseball program look a little better over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. 8:08 this morning here on the Morning Drive. What do you think the message to the team was after the game yesterday, that what Coach Tadlock had to say to his team, if you were a guessing man?
Well done. Way to finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
Way to, you know, proud that they won games with not just offense, but it was complete the whole weekend. You played well defensively, you pitched well, and you did enough offensively. You know, obviously had a big game on Friday, but after that it was a little bit lower scoring, obviously, on Sunday, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he was happy the way the guys bounced back from the disappointment of the week, and they showed some mental toughness, and so I'm sure he's pleased.
Yeah, and maybe this is what happens when we play complete baseball right here. Now, let's go do it again.
Yep.
Or let's keep doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get too high on what you did, just kind of steady Eddie, right?
Let's go do it again on Tuesday.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.